episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show is brought to you by Target. It's official. Summer is here. That means pool parties, beach bonfires, outdoor weddings, camping, vacations, staycations, barbecues, and baseball games. For easy access, find 50% off your summer Target favorites on sale located in the show notes, or you can head on over to ninababel.com/podcast, and you're going to look for the Target shopping link located under episode number 26. Welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. I'm your host, Nina Babel, and I help celebrate embarrassment. You know, there's no manual on this. That's why I have you guys, Girly Nation. Women tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. I share what women, and even you men, are thinking but not saying out loud. But here's the dealio. Most of you are just too shy, nervy, and embarrassed to ask. And I'll admit, my stories are kind of cray-cray edgy, and some of you might even consider them a little taboo. But one rule of my podcast is this: we overshare. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? So in last week's episode, women described their big O's. These choirs of angels added their own personal touches of what it feels like to have an orgasm.
I was like sitting, and as I was experiencing it, I'm like, oh my God, this is an orgasm. This is it. This is it. And it just took me to a level above the clouds.
Where you're like looking down at yourself like, damn, did it.
And it was, okay.
Right.
And I was like, whoa.
Yes. No, when I had the...
Right, out of control, out of body. They'll tell you all about their most memorable experiences, why it made them feel happy, and those half-gasms, which I refer to as blue walls. You guys get blue balls, and us women, we get blue walls. Then lastly, I flipped the script. I went ahead and grabbed expert relationship coach Colin Tate to chime in and kind of got him to break bro code on why guys fake orgasms. June is National Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Month, and it's currently celebrated each year in the month of June. I dedicate this episode as a tribute to the horrific tragedy in Orlando, Florida, over a week ago. My goal in today's episode is to educate men and women about the LGBT community, including me. No one knows, no one asks, no one educates, and not a lot of people are talking about it. Or are they? My story? I've never really had gay friends growing up, and I certainly have not been exposed to the LGBT community until I was an adult. Meaning I've always had gay male friends, but what girl doesn't? You guys are the best confidants, shopping buddies, and you make great company. In many respects, I have learned a shit ton from all of you when it comes to dotting your I's and crossing your T's. But I've never had lesbian friends. In fact, I'll tell you this, I've shunned away from it. I used to get the creepies because I would always be afraid that I would get hit on. And frankly, I have. On the other hand, it's always been this mystery. And I was thinking, why should I live wondering or have these theories based on stereotypes? Have the conversation. Share the conversation. Dispel the myths. And I'm going to share what Nina was thinking, but what she really wasn't saying or asking out loud. Tatiana, also known as Berry Pink Juice, we follow each other on Snapchat. We have exchanged several snaps back and forth. I've gotten to know her more over time, and she has the gift of gab. If there's anyone to educate a straight girl on the LGBT community, I chose Tatiana to be the lesbian myth buster. She's a character, she kept it 100, and more importantly, we had fun.
I love to bust these myths. I'm the myth buster, the lesbian myth buster. busting one lesbian myth at a time.
You have educated me. I love it.
This is fun. I love this shit right here.
Here we go. Roll them.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's just be honest. Let's just be real.
So in this episode, you're going to hear Tatiana educating straight people like me. Number two, she's going to talk about her upbringing, her self-esteem issues, and any influence it had on her life, even to this day. Number three, we're going to talk about her sexuality and even when she came out. Number four, we're going to be talking about dating in the lesbian community. Where does she meet chicks and what's the dynamic that happens? And then lastly, number five, Tatiana is going to myth bust those straight girl theories that I have. Whether you like it or not, we are a product of our environments. Let's get to know Tatiana a little better. I started from the beginning by asking Tatiana about her upbringing. Tatiana is 29, she's divorced, she's a loud and proud Latina with the swag as the Bronx Puerto Rican lesbian chick. Tatiana grew up in a two-parent household. She will tell you it wasn't perfect. The matriarchal side of her family has proven to be her anchor, grounding her into the person that she is. She blames her anxiety on her father, but listen to her explanation as to why.
Well, my father, he's a very interesting human being. It's not like we never had him around. He was in the house. He was always there. But he was just there, the most common image that I have in my head is just him sitting in his rocking chair watching TV. Like, you know, my mother put all the time invested. She got to know her children. She knew us in and out, up and down. Even when we wouldn't tell her anything, she'd be like, what's wrong? You know, she has that intuition. Some people think, well, at least he was there financially and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And that's not enough, you know. And financially, he's a pretty cheap guy. So I guess I was working since I was, like, 14 years old, which is cool because, like, my mom was working, you know, since that age. And, you know, I figured I'd follow in her footsteps because I wanted to know what it's like to provide for myself at such a young age, even though I didn't need to work or anything. I wanted to gain that experience. So he, you know, wasn't really invested. He didn't invest his time in us. He figured, okay, I helped create him, and that's it. He was loving, but to a point, you know. It's like if you didn't give him, if it didn't go his way, it was a highway. You know what I'm saying? He was very emotionally abusive. You know, I got a lot of self-esteem issues because of him. Like, you know, I didn't think I was beautiful. He will always remind me how fat I was, how I shouldn't be eating this, and blah, blah, blah. At one point, I had to eat in the bathroom because that was the only place where I had privacy. Like, you know, it's just a lot of things that he would do to us as a family. It kind of psychologically could have fucked us over, could have. But I would say it did, but it didn't to a point because we had such strong women like my mom and my grandma in our life. And when I say our, is my brother and I. We have other siblings. I think it's 8 of us all together. And they're older, and they got it the worst. They really did. They got it the worst. So even though we received it in the most fucked up way as well, emotionally, they got it 10 times worse, you know. And at least my mom stood up for us to a point because she also wanted some peace in the house. I'm the type of person that if you're going to lay your hand on me, I'm going to lay it back. And I know that sounds wrong. Like, if you're going to hit me for nothing, if you're going to try to, you know, abuse me for no fucking reason, I'm going to stand up to you. And I always stood up to my father, always. And I always paid the consequences for that, but I always stood up to him because I felt like you're fucked up in the head. You don't know what love is. You never did. You have the lowest self-esteem, and you're trying to pass that on to me. And he did to one point. You know, I was a very angry person growing up.
Tatiana has always been told by her circle of friends that she is a strong person, and I really feel like by the end of this episode, you're going to feel the same way too. But she came from a place where self-esteem was non-existent. It took extreme measures for her father to notice her. Tatiana developed an eating disorder so that she can feel loved or even noticed by her own father. Here's how she sought her validation.
I've never been 100% a people person. I've kind of been an intro-extro, even though they say there's no such thing as an introvert and an extrovert at the same time. I think I am. I managed to balance it. But it's like I would definitely prefer not to be home. At a certain age, like, I was like, no, I'm not coming home till like 3. I know he'll be sleeping. I don't have to see him. You know, it's like, he was just like, I'm not trying to throw my father under the bus too much, but it was just a lot that went on that was really fucked up. I developed a lot of disorders in order to make him happy. I developed an eating disorder in order for him to say, wow, you look pretty. Wow, you're losing weight. And once he said that, I was like, wow, my father's noticing me. My father actually thinks, like, I'm good looking or something. Like, it was all psychological. So he psychologically kind of fucked me up for a while. But I took that experience and I'm like, you know what? I can either take this and kick rocks for the rest of my life and join, you know, America in the depression population, or I can take this as inspiration to change, to be a good person, to influence other people. And like, I dealt with motherfuckers like this. I lived with one. You can do it.
Tatiana managed her own recovery process from bulimia on her own terms. She only went to therapy once and decided, you know what? She's going to self-manage herself through this. Although this worked for Tatiana, recovery from an eating disorder takes treatment. And I encourage everybody who's encountering this issue to call NEDA, the National Eating Disorders Association.
I managed that on my own. I managed on my own. Like, I've only been to therapy one time, and I was like, nah, fuck this shit. I can do it on my own. And I don't know, I've always had that kind of like, I've always had really good intuition and a really good sense of self. And I figured I could do it on my own because I was strong enough. Like, I was reading, what they call an indigo child. I was reading up on indigo children, and I could totally relate to what indigo children are. But I have that sense of intuition already, and I have that sense of healing. And that's where I feel like, in a way, I don't fit in certain crowds or whatever, because they feel like, while they're still trying to figure certain things out, I've already mastered it in a way. Because every day is a learning experience. I can't say I'm the master of anything. But I've already mastered my own life in a certain way that I know how to heal.
Forgiveness. It starts with recognizing what those demons are inside of us before we can even move forward.
But not everyone has that type of mentality and the capability to just pick up. And everybody heals in their own time. You know, we have a right to be sad. We have a right to be depressed. That's within our right. But we also have a right to be strong. And which one is better? Like, that's what we say, which one is better? Which one is going to pay off in the long run, you know? But I choose a certain way out. And whatever people choose, that's on them. And I respect, you know, how people feel. Because everybody has a right to feel a certain way. Like, we don't really know the types of demons that are inside of us. And some people just walk around with this mask. Like, oh, I'm okay. Hi, you know, hi, Bob. Hi, Sally. And inside they're like, fuck Bob, fuck Sally. You know, I don't really want to say hi, you know?
Here's another example of Girly Nation's resilience and how we're able to turn a negative into a positive and pain into power. Tatiana's mom is a prime example and living proof of taking a bullet for her kids, sacrificing her happiness for her children. On the upside, Tatiana is so happy to have her mom and her grandmother as the force in her life.
You know what I'm saying? It's like one of those things. And once in a while, I still get, you know, a little angry, and I get flashbacks and all that stuff. But for the most part, I think that I've healed enough to forgive him and to visit him. You know, there's just, it's just so much things that he's done that this will be like 2 hours long, but he's just a very messed up man. And my mom didn't want us to be like in a, like jump from household to household. Like she waited till we were grown up at least to like slap him with like divorce papers. Like she sacrificed her own happiness. And I think it would have been better for her to just do it anyway. But I'm not a mother, so I can't say, well, Mom, you should have slapped him with divorce papers even before we were adults. No, if she felt that was right, then that was right for her. I took it upon myself to, like, at the age of 21, I went to Maryland. I moved. I was like, nah, fuck this shit. Like, I can't deal with this man no more. I moved to Maryland for, like, 2.5 years. I came back. And to this day, he doesn't really know where I live, and he's 3 blocks away from me.
Wow.
So, I mean, I managed to keep that on the low. I never want him to know where I live. Like, little does he know. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, he's just a very interesting man. But on the upside, I'm happy to have my mom and my grandmother. My grandmother's literally been more of a father than he was. I always say my grandmother is more of a man than he'll ever be. And they're only, what, a couple of years apart. My grandmother's 84, and I think my father turned 80. I know that sounds weird, but
wow.
My mom met my father when she was very young. He was already, I think, in his 50s, I think. And so my older brothers and sisters, they're kind of, I think, almost near my mom's age.
Right.
Which is, you know, I guess also my mom had father issues as well. So she was also looking for someone to be not only a husband, but like a father figure. It's all psychological. You know, when you have daddy issues, there's certain things that you do in your life in order to fill that void. So, and I didn't want to go down that route either. So I saw how she went down that route and it didn't work for her. I didn't want to go down that route either, you know, like.
Now that we've gotten more acquainted with Tatiana, let's be honest now. It's time for Nina the Straight Girl to ask Tatiana the real deal. Want to know what women in their 20s need to know? Then check out the friggin' truth. It's The Real by Nina, a full Holy Grail rundown of love, sex, dating, and health commandments for every woman. You can get a free copy by going to www.ninababel.com/thefriggin'truth. I asked Tatiana, when did you know that you were gay? What did you feel? Because there's always been this big debate whether your sexuality is a learned behavior, if people choose to be gay, or is it genetic?
It's just one of those things that's always lived inside me. I felt like literally age four, no lie, I knew that I liked girls.
Wow.
And from there, yes, it's something I always felt. I think it's because that's the way they feel. They feel like they feel more in tune and they vibe better wearing male clothing.
But you said earlier it's not about...
But it's not about gender roles. No, you could... Oh, but gender roles and clothing are two different things, all right? You could wear... Listen, I've dealt with what you call a butch. Listen, I don't discriminate. I date all kinds. What I prefer is different than what I date. I've dated butches who they wear all head to toe male gear and in bed they're fully female. There is no gender role going on, and I love that shit. That shit comes off. You know what I'm saying? That look at that as like a costume. Halloween, you become whatever the fuck you want to be, but when that comes off, you're still you, correct? So that's the way I look at the whole clothing thing. When that comes off, you're still you. And when you're in bed, you're still both pleasing each other. It's no gender roles. You know what I'm saying? So in a way, I could relate to that because, like I said, I'm androgynous. I'm a tomboy. I wear girl pants, but I wear guy tops. I wear fitteds and stuff like that. I'm in a little bit of both. So I feel like I'm in tune with both my feminine and my masculine side. Some of them dress like men because it's just more comfortable too. I can't even lie. That shit is comfortable. it's hella comfortable. I can't imagine myself wearing high heels. I mean, although when I get married again, if I get married, I do want to wear a dress and high heels. I want to be a princess for a fucking day. You know, that's my desire.
Okay.
And I think I'll look like a bad bitch that day, okay?
Badass bitch. Oh, shit.
So yeah, you know, sometimes so it's never like it's never like the when it comes to the clothing, it's like it's never that serious. Sometimes it's just because they like it and that's it, you know. But okay. Like I said, look at it like a costume. When it comes off, you're serious. Some people stand in the darkness,
afraid to step into. Tatiana shares what the trigger point was for her. What were the signs and how did she embrace her sexuality?
All right. Baywatch, right? Not even lying. Baywatch, I was watching that when I was young and I was like, oh my God. Fuck David Hasselhoff, he was too hairy. And I saw Pamela Anderson, I was like, oh fuck. I'm like, something happened to me. Like, I swear, I'm not even lying. Something happened to me when I'm like, wow. And I just felt when I would watch, even like I was a big WWF watcher back in the day. I would watch it with my dad, and like even when like just certain women would come on. Back in the day, they didn't have much women wrestlers, but when they would come on, I was like turned on. Like I'm like, why? I'm a kid. Like, what's going on with my body? Like, I would have certain, like, desires. And then even when I was in kindergarten, I would be in a closet making out with a girl. How the hell did I know about that when I was young? It was such a mystery. But I think it was in me because I had really no exposure to any of that at all. It was just a desire that I've always felt that I was born with. And I always gravitated towards girls, and I've always been like a little charmer. I'm not going to lie, you know. you know. So it just happened, and it's something that I've always embraced. It was the only one time I tried to change or, you know, experiment or blah blah blah. That didn't go well. I was like, "No, this is not cool." Like, the one and only boyfriend I ever had was like, oh, I think you're gay. Like, he even, like, pointed that shit out to me. You know, I always see you with a lot of girls. And, I mean, I was cheating on his ass anyway with a lot of women, so fuck that.
Every LGBT male or female faces the torture of coming out. For some, it's easy, and for others, it's really not. Parents are just as guilty of stereotypes. We've gotten to know Tatiana's father as well, but she will now describe her father's reaction to her coming out.
They always had a suspicion, but I think I announced it. Man, when did I announce it? I announced it, I forgot what age. I was very young. And, like, my father had said something like, oh, I always knew. He's just stupid. Cause he's like, it's the way you walk. I'm like, shut up. It's not the way I walk, asshole. I walk more. Like, you know, these Latinos, they have some of these old-fashioned Latinos, they have, like, this stereotype of what it's like to be gay in their head, that they examine your every walk or the way you, like, no, it's not even about that. Shut up. I'm like, no, you better know. So, I mean, my mom cried. I don't know why. I don't know why parents always cry when you come out to them. I don't know. I throw a party. Like, if I ever have a son or a daughter and they come out, I'm like, woo, come on. One, because my daughter cannot get knocked up at a young age. Yes. but they were emotional and all that stuff. But I can never say that my mom never accepted me. My mom always accepted me. My dad had trouble. He just had some trouble. Like, I didn't care. I'm like, listen, whether you accept this or not, that's it. This is just me. What are you going to do, kick me out? You know what I'm saying? I wasn't there to please him anymore. When it comes to my sexuality, I'm not pleasing nobody. I already pleased you enough. Try pleasing you, making you happy as a father, and nothing will ever make you happy, so you're a miserable fuck. You know, that's the way I see it now. He's just miserable. So I'm not going to please him. So there was no sort of deal breaker, nothing like that. I was like, I'm gay. This is the way it is, and boom. If you guys don't like it, that's just your problem. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. And, yeah, I'm always like that. Not with my with my sexuality. No, I'm good. I don't have to explain myself and all that stuff and try to make you feel better. I'm not going to comfort you if you're crying. I'm not. Like, to me, it's like you're crying because I'm... Are you crying because I just told you I killed somebody, or are you crying because I just told you that, you know, I like women? Like, to me, I'm very insensitive when it comes to that. So maybe it's just me being insensitive. But I'm looking at them like, really, guys? Really? This is that serious?
Right.
I don't know. You're going to have to ask them that.
And did your brother know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my... my bestie. That's my ride or die. Hell yeah, he always knew.
Okay.
He looked up to me. He looked up to me because of that. He, you know, it's funny because to this day he says, like, he's like, let's just say if you get hit, like, by the straight fairy and you decide to just, like, you know, be straight or whatever, he's like, I wouldn't look at you the same. I'm so used to you being gay. And I'm like, you know, he's embraced that. He loved it. He used to brag about it. Like, oh my God. My sister gets all these girls and all this stuff, so...
So Straight Girl wants to know the dynamic and the interaction between females when they're dating. So I asked Tatiana about her own swag and how she gets the girls.
Humility is key. And people always call... They always say, oh, I call bullshit on that and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I believe it's my personality. I do. And it's a blessing and a curse. Because the same reason why they gravitate towards me is the same reason why they run. And I'm not changing a damn thing about it. I just think that I need a strong woman like me. And it'll happen. It'll happen in due time.
She describes her personality as a blessing and a curse. Girls are a sucker for her humor, though. And she admits it. I'll let her explain.
With my personality, they like the fact that I'm creative. Creativity is key. And also, if I were to say, okay, one thing that kind of gets them interested is humor. I'm a very funny person. I'm very funny. I'm random. I'm a loud, typical Puerto Rican girl from the South Bronx. And some people like that. I don't know why. I don't like the fact that I'm loud and extra Puerto Rican. But they like that. And they see that the humility comes out of me. And so I don't floss. I don't have a car. Okay, so I can't say it's a car. Guess what I have? I have a Metro card, and you swipe it in the subway. And that's how I get from point A to point B. You know, the typical things that, let's say, my homeboys would pick up girls with, I don't. You have to be a minimalist. And not only that, it's not the materialistic things that matter. Like, if you can't pick up a chick with your personality, then you can't really pick up a genuine chick. Like, you really can't.
Some of you may be wondering if there's really a difference between dating in the gay or heterosexual communities. I would say it's mostly the same emotions, dynamics, interactions. But Tatiana is going to describe the major differences that separates both communities, or does it?
It's definitely the same. It has nothing, like, it's the same. It's the same type of things that go on, except that, you know, it's two vaginas and two penises and a vagina and a penis. Like, it's the same type of mentality. Like, you have in a lesbian community, you have a lot of women who they just they have that Love and Hip Hop type lifestyle where they're always cheating and the girl catches them and they buy them, the gifts become even more lavish and all that stuff. We have that in our community. I don't involve myself or associate myself with that type of crowd. But you have all of that. You have all of that. The same thing you guys go through, we go through it. Even though, like, the difference would be is that it's much more emotional because it's two women. And
as you know, we all know how to get ignorant dramatic as females. We are emotional beings, and we own that. female fighting is cray cray. And then add the whole post-breakup drama. That takes it to another level. Oh, it's going to be lit when it comes to a tornado of emotions.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it's one of those things where the emotion, once the emotions get involved from two women, it's like, what? It's like a tornado of emotions. Everything comes out. Everything comes out. All the ignorant, dramatic things come out 10 times harder. I mean, for me, it could, it just really depends who you're with, what type of personality you're with. Just with me, it's always been arguments, like, I don't know, some people think I'm a tad dramatic. I guess, I don't know. It's crazy. Like, many women who I've been with, they're like, oh, you're kind of dramatic. And I feel like their version of drama is my version of communication. And let's sit down and talk about this right now. Or, you know, I think just I've dealt with people who just don't like to talk about shit, you know. And they'll take that and say, oh, you're being dramatic or something like that. Well, you know, that's your problem, but I don't think I'm being dramatic. I guess I'm a little animated. I can say that. But as far as arguments lately, in my recent relationship, I guess it was just like communication. Let's communicate. Let's talk. It's like pulling teeth, and I shouldn't have to feel that way, you know. And also arguments about the past. You know, you can't get into a relationship with someone who hasn't healed yet, and sometimes that's been my mistake, you know. But it's not my mistake because, you know, it takes two. They get out of a relationship, they meet me, and they fall for me, and they fall hard, and then they're involved with, like, the fact that they still have to heal, and they're not fully ready for a relationship, but yet they want me. So they have to deal with that battle. And, of course, I get involved in the mix, and I'm like, fuck, not this again. So used to this shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm so used to it that it's like, whatever.
So I asked Tatiana, where does she meet her chicks?
Where do I go? Sometimes it just happens randomly. It could be also, I've met chicks online. Like, my ex-wife, we met almost 10 years ago on MySpace. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, she was my first love, my first everything. Like, that girl, I would run... Like, I don't want my hands to the end of the world if she asked me to. Like, I was completely in love with her. And so, that's quite a story within itself. But we met on MySpace. And then we started dating or whatever. And then we, you know, fell in love. And then I dealt with all the skeletons in her closet and all the ratchetness that she brought on the table. And then we broke up for several years. And we rekindled our connection back in, I think, 2013 or 2014. And within less than 2 months of rekindling our connection, we got married on my birthday. And then the marriage only lasted 6 months.
I asked her what happened. Sounds like it was a Hotline Bling story, if you ask me. She will tell you her strong personality attracts the weak ones. She called herself Captain Save-A-Ho.
She's a compulsive cheater, and shout out. she always cheated because she likes the attention, and she's always stood with me because this was her excuse. Like, you are what I want, but what I'm not ready for. I like the attention. I'm young, and I'm, you know, blah blah blah. Like, she. This girl got a lot of attention. Like, she was like the J-Lo of Spanish Harlem. She came from Spanish Harlem. And I was just the Bronx chick that fell in love with her and her every vibe. She had that Latina swag that people, you know, probably dream of. And I was captivated. And she wrapped me around her finger. And basically, she was even, like, engaged to someone while she was with me, and I didn't know that. She had, like... several abortions. I didn't know that. It was crazy. I kept taking her back. She kept running to me. I kept taking her back. she kept hurting me and all that stuff, lying, and I would just still take her back because I felt that throughout all that, I still knew that she was still somewhat genuine. I saw the good in her. I saw some good in her, even though she was malicious, and I realized that now, like, this person just loves attention, you know? And she would use her body for attention, and that's what it was. So when we broke up and everything like that, we rekindled everything, and within the second week of us being married, she cheated on me with a girl. I don't know who it was. It was two girls. let me not sugarcoat that. A girl from Texas and then a girl from New York. And she basically said, I'm not ready for this marriage. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
So I asked Tatiana, what is her weakness for sweetness when it comes to identifying her type? Tatiana indicated her preferences for lipstick lesbians who get her in trouble all the time. Straight girl lesson. What is a lipstick lesbian? Well, I didn't know either, so we're going to have to listen to Tatiana.
I mean, sometimes when I'm experimenting, like when I'm single, I can experiment more. So when I'm experimenting and I find, this is my personal experience. This is not for everybody, but with the butches that I dealt with, I can control them and dominate them more. It's so much easier to wrap them around your finger. But with the feminine women, they're like, honey, that's not, you know, like they'll pop off in your face, you know. I'm not saying that the butches are kind of easy to manipulate, but the ones I've dealt with, they are. But what do I prefer? I prefer my girly girls. I love my girly girls. I do. It's sexy, okay. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Interesting. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Could I be in a relationship with Butch? I have in the past. I have. It was cool. I mean, I can, when I'm in a relationship, I don't care, you know, who you are. Like, I'm faithful to you. But when I'm trying new things. But I do prefer, like I said, my girly girls, my little, that's what they call lipstick lesbians. That's what they call them. That's a term. Lipstick lesbians.
Oh, yeah.
I learned something. I didn't know that.
Yeah, lipstick lesbians.
I got this. We're getting it all in. Modern edgy women start culturally inappropriate conversations with your new boo, your girlfriends, your husband, or birthday celebrations. Sign up and get notified of my new launch of Modern Sexy Urban at www.modernedgyurban.com. Peace! All right, it's time to bust those myths. Because the straight girl and the lesbian real talk 10 myths to bust, starting with her biggest pet peeves. We're going to talk about generalizations that she wants to nip in the bud. Tatiana says people try to find more answers than she tries to find for her own self. She's not a study, she doesn't have daddy issues or any trauma in her life. I asked Tatiana to share her 3 biggest pet peeves about being gay and busting those myths out loud once and for all.
Let's just be honest. Let's just be real.
Myth bust number 1.
Oh my God, I hate when they say, you're too pretty to be gay. Oh my God, I want to punch people in the face when they say that. It's like, all right, so am I supposed to be ugly? So all gay people are supposed to be ugly. Oh, you're just too pretty. You're just no. They look at me as like a waste of flesh or something. Like, I hate that. Like, that's, it's being gay. It's not about how you look.
Myth bust number 2.
Maybe you haven't found the right guy. And you know what's funny? When a guy tells me that, when he tells me, maybe you haven't found the right guy, I tell him, well, maybe you haven't found the right guy. Why are you with a woman? Like, maybe you need to find the right guy. You know, like, I'm very smart like that. I'm like, no, you're not about to tell me these ancient things. Like, come on, it's not 1960. It's not, like, chill out, it's 2016, bro. So it's like, you know, maybe I haven't found the right guy or whatever, like, who is the right guy? Who is the right woman? We don't know. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe, you know, I have people tell me, you know, maybe you haven't been dicked down right. Shit like that. I'm like, really? Really?
Myth bust number 3.
It's just like people make things about sex and about gender. It's not about that. And the human sexuality to me is very complicated. I've met people who have been with men all their life who all of a sudden they have this feeling where they laid eyes on a girl and they got to know each other and they fell in love and they're together now. Human sexuality is very complex. That's why even sometimes I have a problem being labeled a lesbian or gay. It's just one of those things. I am who I am. I am human. You know what I'm saying? Whoever I'm with is whoever I'm with. But it's not, people make it seem like it's like about looks. It's about, oh, trauma. Oh, that's another thing. Well, maybe you were touched when you were young. Well, you know what? Like, it's not even about that either. Not all of us were touched when we were young.
Myth bust number 4.
And I don't know who got that fucking idea in their head. It's like, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, whatever ideas you have about gay people is probably not, it's definitely not right. And guess what? It's never that serious. They try to find out why we're gay, and I'm like, listen, it's not that serious, guys. It's just not. I like pussy. Like, that's it. That's it. You know, they try to find some, they try to find more answers than I try to find for myself. Like, yo, you're really using me as a study. Like, they use me as a study. And they come to me and say, well, maybe it's this, and maybe it's because you have daddy issues. And maybe I'm like, no, maybe you need to shut the fuck up. You know? It's very annoying. It's very annoying, but I hear it all the time.
Number 5, gender roles. First, I'm guilty of wondering how a female could act like, dress like a guy with their pants hanging low, oversized shirts. I've always branded it as not too girly or female. So when it comes to dating, we know you're both females trying to link up, hook up. But when it comes to a relationship, who's the boy and who's the girl?
Right. I don't like gender roles. I don't like gender roles. I'm going to be very explicit here. Do you mind?
No.
Listen, if I'm using this, like, let's just say, if I'm using a particular toy on a girl, she's going to use it on me too. I'm not going to be the guy in a relationship. You're not going to be the girl. We're both girls. That's it. Even though I dress like a tomboy, that has nothing to do with who I am as a woman. Like, I dress like a tomboy because I like the clothes. It's comfortable. Like, I don't know how people wear heels. That shit is not for me. The last time I wore a dress was probably when I was 12. And I'm fine this way. I'm fine being androgynous, and I'm always in touch with my feminine side. I love being a woman. I'm very, you know, I have this feminine flair about me that I love. But I don't do gender roles. Even when I date women, if I sense that they're into that whole gender role shit, I'm like, you know what, it's not going to work out. Because I'm not going to be this man that you want me to be. Like, really, like, this is not happening. I don't like the whole man. And sometimes it's not even the straight community that gives us that label. Sometimes it's our own community. It's our own community that has that gender role stigma. And we need to break out of that. Because there's so much endless possibilities. You're limiting yourself to the endless possibilities out there. You know, like, it just is what it is. I'm not into that whole thing. If I'm going to fuck you with a strap, you're going to fuck me with a strap too. Hey, and we're going to be two happy lesbians. That's it. Like, I know people who are like, oh, I don't let my girlfriend touch me. Well, what's that? The whole gender role thing, that's not for me. And it takes away from the fun of everything, I think. Just takes away from the whole experience. I mean, if you want to have gender roles, that's cool. But then we also have to consider trans relationships. Trans relationships are totally different. Now, that I totally respect, because I'm not, you know, I'm not a person transitioning into a male body. That's different. I cannot use that. I will never, like, consider that gender roles. That's totally different. But as far as, like, two typical lesbians together, I'm not going to be the man. You're not going to be the woman. We're both women. And that's it, you know?
6, do you have any straight female friends? I can't be friends with gay women. I feel like I'm being looked at in a sexual manner. Like, that's really the only reason.
I would never make someone feel uncomfortable like that. That's just so sad. I'm sorry you go through that.
Yeah. So it's like,
not
again,
cool at all.
It's not cool. And then it's the whole myth busting thing I'm going to bring up again. And it's like, what are you trying to, like, turn me out? Like, turn me the other direction?
Well, maybe they're just looking at you also because you're pretty, or they like they're still women, so it's like maybe they want what, like, man, I wish I had her boobs, like shit. Like I wish I had her legs. Like, you know, maybe they're looking at you like that. But if you feel like they're looking at you, your intuition tells you everything. You feel like they're looking at you in a sexual manner. Me, I'm a big mouth. Like, why are you looking at me like that for? Fix your eyes. That's what I say. You know, fix your eyes. And that's it. Or even if you have to say it in a playful manner. Girl, fix your eyes. You know I don't want you.
Yeah, I do that with my eyes. Like, don't even think I go there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So just like guys think they have the magic dick, some lesbians think they have the magic, like, turnout stick, like, and it's so fucking pathetic. I don't really have gay or lesbian friends like that. I really don't. It's weird.
But do you have friends that are straight?
Mostly, yes. Mostly straight, yeah.
Okay.
I just don't like, you know, I don't have the itch to just hit up a gay club or anything like that. Like, I think I'm just, you know, I'm just one of those gay people who, like, some gay people think that they have to stick to their own tribe, you know, stick to their own kind, which is cool. You could do that. But again, you're missing out on the possibilities. I don't like to be put in one box. Therefore, I'm not going to isolate myself from the rest of the world. You're missing out on many opportunities and possibilities. So I like to mingle with both sides.
Straight people lesson. Now Tatiana is going to educate you and me on the real deal here.
And that's the way I keep the playing field very even, you know, because sometimes us as gay people, we isolate ourselves into one box. And then we get mad when we get stereotyped. Well, maybe if you were around to answer their questions. You know, I tell people, maybe you can't isolate yourself from their questions. Don't get mad when they're like, oh, you know, like, what's this all about or whatever. Educate them. It's like before we educate them, we get so mad and we lash out at these straight people. Don't lash out on them. Educate them. Be around to educate them. So that way they could better understand. There's so many straight people that I've educated, and they're like, wow, thank you for taking the time. Because every time I try to talk to a lesbian, they curse me out.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it's okay. We're angry.
7, turning a straight girl out theory. I asked Tatiana, is this really true? I am straight and narrow. I love my men. But I'll tell you this, I've certainly had girls who are trying to test me.
I don't believe in turning anyone out. I don't. That's one thing I don't believe in. It's like they're giving me so much power. It's like, who am I? What type of power do I have to turn someone out? What is turning someone out? Like, to me, it's like, was I granted with some secret powers that every straight woman who gravitates towards me, I'm going to turn her out? You don't get turned out. You turn yourself out. If you want that, if you want someone at the current moment, whether it be man or woman or transsexual, whatever you like, that's your desire. They didn't do anything to manipulate you. It's consensual. You desired that, and that's what you wanted at the moment. And guess what? It's okay. It doesn't make you any less straight. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's one of those things. Whereas, like, straight women and even straight men, who I've had men come up to me and say, listen, I got head from a guy yesterday. I said, well, good for you. Yeah, but I'm straight. Okay. See, this is why you're stuck on the fucking labels. Now, in your head, you're going to be like, oh, my God, am I gay, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, it's never that serious. Don't read into it. It just happened. Boom. That's it. Go on with your day. No, don't give anyone the power of turning you out. Like, no one should get that power. That shouldn't exist, in my opinion. Like, oh, you know, I see some gay guys, even some lesbians say, I turned her out. Listen, you guys are pathetic. There's no such thing as turning anyone out. It's the human desire. Like I said, the human sexuality is complex. Therefore, the human desire is just as complex. And many people disagree with me. Many people do. But I think my view, it makes more sense than just giving someone the power to just turn someone out. Like, if a lesbian is trying very hard to come on to you, you know that's not what you want.
Right.
So you're not going to allow her. She has no fucking powers. She ain't shit. Like, listen, I'm sorry, mamas, but I respect your sexuality, but please, I don't need the flirtatious shit going on. That's it. But the straight women who've had this turnout story, I look at them like, So when did the magic turnout stick? You know, the little fairy dust, the gay fairy dust come on to you. Like, you know, I look at it like the sprinkles come out with their glitter.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thing. There's no such thing as turning someone out. It just happens. And sometimes it's unexplainable. We try to find the answers for certain things, and certain things are just unexplainable. And that's the beauty in it. That's the beauty in human desire. You don't know what the fuck you're going to want one day. You can't plan everything. You can't have control in everything. And people need to embrace that, you know.
Right. Is there anything
else? Did I fuck your head up just now?
Well, no.
Okay.
No.
Some people are like, oh, my God, like, you mean to tell me this is no such thing? And they're like, no, it's not. I don't know. Whoever invented that term needs to ask. Because people are just so caught up with that they don't even want to be near gay people. Like, I don't turn nobody out. I mean, first of all, like, if someone's straight, I'm not a thirst bucket. That is just that's a very ugly quality to have. Thirsting over someone who you know doesn't desire you and doesn't want you. Please have more respect. Like, to me, it's like that. Don't go preying upon people. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I don't associate myself with certain people and crowds. Because if you're not going to be on my level of maturity, then I ain't going to chill with you. You know, I've had straight women who got drunk in front of me, and I had to, like, take care of them and even help bathe them. And I've never, ever went there. That's how much respect I have, you know?
Right.
So it depends on the person.
Straight girl lesson. Females don't hit on each other. And let me explain this a little bit more, at least in the heterosexual community. You don't compliment a girl's body parts, especially the sensual ones. Legs, lip, butt,
Oh my God, I want to know what types of lesbians you have around you. They're probably like, oh my God, they're probably like just thirst buckets.
Well, you know what? It's like I've been hit on a couple of times, and it makes me very uncomfortable. And when I'm uncomfortable, like, my way of shutting you down is to be ugly or let you know, like,
right,
I don't go
right,
there.
Right.
And I'm sure of that.
So what's your definition? I'm sorry. my question. I look at
the thing is,
questions.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like I don't realize when it's happening. It's like I have to be like 5 minutes is gonna pass, and then I'm like, oh, this is different. And then I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, especially, and they always like my legs. I'm telling you straight. And
oh, my God.
It's this thing they have with my legs. And as soon as I see a girl standing on my legs, I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Get out of here.
That's hilarious. now, what if, like, okay, so what if, okay, my question is, like, let's just say, because let me tell you, like, I'm very, I like to compliment people because I feel like, you know, compliments are good. But I try to stay away from complimenting people's body parts because people are very sensitive and self-image and all that stuff, you know. So let's just say if I compliment you, like, girl, you have a nice pair of legs on you, girl. Like, would you take that as, like me hitting on you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But what, I literally mean it like this. You have nice legs.
I know, girls are not supposed to tell girls that. Unless you're my mother, you keep it to yourself.
True, because I never say that. I try to stay away from complimenting people's body parts. Like, that's how I know how girls want me anyway. Like, this is how, since I don't compliment girls' body parts, but there's bold women who are like, girl, you have nice lips. I already know, girl, you want to get in my pants, because you cannot go up to someone and say you have nice lips without the intention. So that's just something you don't say, you know? Like, no, I was just saying you have nice lips. No, for real, I don't want you. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying with the legs. I get what you're saying, yeah.
Right. It's like, unless, like, we're, like, ride-and-die chicks, I knew you since I was 4 years old, then that's a different story. But right. If we just, you know, casually met, maybe saw each other 2-3 times because we live in the same neighborhood or whatever, then no, don't be coming at me with that, because I'm going to be like putting up the cross right in front of me. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah, and it's the same thing with me. I don't appreciate all females hitting on me either. Like, sometimes I feel uncomfortable. I do. Like, I'm like,
what makes feel uncomfortable? About people.
I've had females just go up to me and, like, grab my ass. Like, I want to drop kick them. Like, you don't do that. Like, you just don't do that. Like, you got a juicy ass. Like, some people think I have a juicy, plump ass. I don't know. I don't look at my ass to tell. Like, I don't know, it's just an ass. But some girls love it, and they just go up to me and just grab. Like, really? Hi, stranger. Do you want to get punched in the face? Like, to me, it's like that, a situation like that. You know, I had a situation where a girl, like, this was a couple of years ago, like, just tried kissing me. I'm like, no, dude, I don't even know if you have herpes right now. Chill out. Like, yeah. What are you doing? And it's that I'm a spontaneous person, but I try not to be, let's just this keyword try, I try not to be sexually spontaneous, because that can cost me my life. You know what I'm saying? So those types of things. Or when girls are too forward in my face, like literally in my breathing space, like, ooh, girl, you this and that, you know, spitting that game. And I'm looking at them like, okay, could you get out of my face? I feel you in my pores. Like, I don't like that shit. I feel like a simple conversation is enough. You know, let's converse. Let's talk about something interesting. Let's go to Starbucks or something. Have some coffee. Or, you know, don't be in my face trying to just jump at me. I don't like that, because I'm not like that. I consider myself a charming human being, and I'm a charmer, but in a good way. You know, I'm not dying to get in anyone's pants, you know.
8, STDs in the lesbian community. I asked Tatiana, what are your concerns about contracting STDs? Tatiana refers to herself as the safe slut.
Right, yeah. And I feel like a lot of us need to worry more about it. It's like being spontaneous is cool and it's fun, but you have to, you know, that one night of fun, of orgasmic ecstasy, can turn out to be, you know, 20, 30 medications per day. Like, nah, I'm not with that. I am not about that life. I will pass up pussy in order to gain more life, more longevity in my life. You know, some people just like, nah, you're gonna give that pussy up, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. We're good. I'm very sexually free. And, like, when I'm single, I'm not going to lie. I tell people when I'm single, I'm a little slut, but I'm a safe slut. A safe slut.
Okay.
But when I'm taken, I'm totally, totally invested in my relationship. I'm totally faithful. And I love the feeling of making love to one person. Although the same respect hasn't been given to me, but it is what it is.
Nine, what are the typical things men ask lesbians? I mean, we all know guys want threesomes, and it doesn't matter with who, but they actually prefer lesbians. But Tatiana describes what it's like being hit on by men and educating them.
All the time. All the time.
That body?
And I shut it down. I know how to shut down men in a way that at the end of the day, like, they know the deal. I'm not afraid of men. Like, I look them in the eye all the time, and I tell them the deal. And they think they get turned on by that. The fact that I'm so assertive, and, you know, I look them in the eye, and I'm like, listen, Papa, this is not going to happen, and all that stuff. They get so turned on by my personality. A lot of men gravitate towards me because of my personality, because of the way I am. But I shut that down very quick. And I don't shut it down in a way that I don't, you know, some lesbians like to belittle these men and insult their manhood as if that's going to help their view of lesbians. That's not going to help. Like, that's not going to help. You sit there and talk to them. Maybe like, listen, if another bitch is willing to give you a threesome who likes girls, that's her, but I'm the wrong one. And your stereotypes of lesbians having threesomes with men, let me help fix that stereotype. You know, and then you have, again, it goes with the conversation, with the education. So I do that, and then they start having respect for me. Like, you know what, T, you're cool peoples. I didn't mean to come at you this way. You know, you educated me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just going to go to the next bitch to try to find a threesome. Boom. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These men who come on to me, try to sleep with me, they end up, I wouldn't call them friends, but they end up being pretty close associates. Because I've educated and enlightened them so much that now they know. Like, hey, T, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Or blah, blah, blah. Because how should I put it? I have a lot of strong black men in my life as well. And they're strong, and they're family men, and they're great. But they have this, the whole stereotype of the lesbianism thing. And I feel like with them, I have to help break it down even more. And educate them, and when they're enlightened, when they finally get enlightened, they're like, wow, like, I never realized this, I wasn't raised this way. I'm like, well, you know, it's time to break the chains, brother, break the chains. So, yeah, you know, I just like to have conversations with these people who want to get in my pants. I do, because at the end of the day, like, I ain't gonna give you no pussy. Let me educate you on why you're not going to get in my pussy.
She uses this opportunity to educate men that come her way on her terms.
The whole maybe you haven't found the right guy, or maybe a guy didn't satisfy you. That always comes up with men. Some women, not men. I mean, some women, but mostly men, because they have this whole, you know, the male ego going on, you know. Maybe you didn't have, I've even heard, maybe you didn't have a guy with the right size or whatever. I'm like, listen, it's scientifically proven that even the smallest penis can still hit the vagina walls. Like, don't you think I know this straight shit? I know this shit, so stop with your bullshit. You and your big old 12-inch man dingo can go try to convince someone else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they come with that, and then, when I break it down to them. I mean, yeah, some men... When I have a conversation with them, some of them have been, it's been so unsuccessful that I have to just walk away from them and be like, you're choosing to be ignorant at this point because I'm laying it all out for you. So those who choose to be ignorant, I stay away from them.
Okay.
But 9 times out of 10, they become a little bit more open and they come out of the conversation like enlightened, which is pretty cool. They'll even go back to their spouse and they're like, listen, I met this lesbian and she was so cool. And this is what she told me. Which is cool. I like that.
Straight people lesson. Having a best friend who's a guy helps us understand how to talk to men better and educate them.
My best friend is a straight man. And he is the most understanding, open-minded, straightest. I call him like a straight lesbian because, and this is why I feel like conversation is key. You know, not all men are like this. They're not all men are narrow-minded, you know. So he kind of also inspires me to have a little bit more patience with men. And although I wish they were like him, who can totally understand that there's lesbians, there's gays, there's bis, and there's trans. And that's it. Like, that's, you know. But, you know, so having a best friend who's a man kind of helps me understand men better, if that makes sense. And it helps me approach them better and speak to them in a way that, like, they'll be like, oh, I can vibe with that. sometimes you have to talk to these men like they're fucking homies. Like, you know what I'm saying?
10. I asked Tatiana what her mother didn't tell her, but her girlfriend did. Namely about lesbian experiences.
Another one is, as far as lesbian experiences.
Yeah, definitely, because that's going to probably be the end up being the topic, because...
That not everyone shaves. You know, some people have jungle fever, and that's okay. I mean, I embrace it, but, you know, kind of gets in the way.
What's your preference? Bald eagle?
Honestly, too baldy is a little bit too disturbing for me. But like if it's like, you know, the rainforest, like if I can find creatures in there, then I'm going to be like, honey bunny, you need to cut that off just a little bit, un poquito. And, you know, but I like it, you know, in the middle, you know, I've seen some designs. I'm like, how do you even have time to design a heart there or to dye it purple? I've seen all kinds. Like, it's amazing. I'm like, wow. I feel like I'm walking into a museum. But, you know, yeah, oh my God. I've seen
it. Like, I only know, like, runway. I know bald eagle, like Brazilian.
I had no idea there was names for this, like titles. Like, I had no idea. But I've seen, like, mohawks. I've seen, like, heart designs and stuff. I've seen it dyed. Most interesting ones I've also seen is, like, with piercings and stuff. Like, I didn't know there could be, like, a corset-style piercing down there where you can have, like, a set of, like, I guess, what do they call it, like, the bars going across, and then you could tie, like, lace on it. I thought that was pretty painful and sexy. Wow. I just wanted to, like, look at it. It was like, wow. So sometimes it feels like I'm walking into a museum with these kinds of vaginas. I don't know.
Wow.
So, I know. It's amazing. I mean, people are proud of their vagina. We should be. But,
yeah.
I don't have time for all that. Ain't nobody got time for that. My museum, my freaking vagina is not the MoMA Museum, the Museum of Modern Art. Like, chill.
So, if a lesbian doesn't have sex with a guy, are you still considered a virgin? Tatiana and I talked about the whole V-card theory in the lesbian community, and I was wondering whether this term or label even applies.
In the lesbian community, do you guys still use the term virgin?
Virgin?
Like, are you a...
I haven't heard that term since I was a virgin.
In the eyes of the straight community, because you've only... Like, I don't know if you had sex with that one guy you were with, but in my eyes, you're still a virgin by society standards.
That's adorable. That's the cutest shit I've ever heard. That's like some Care Bear shit.
But am I wrong? I mean, unless, like, it's different in the lesbian community.
I mean, we don't even mention the V word, like the V card and shit. Okay, as far as, like, there's gold star lesbians. Gold star lesbians are lesbians who are complete virgins who've never been, like, with a man. That's what you call gold star lesbians. See, two terms, right? You learned two terms today.
Yeah.
It's just so much terms and labels, I can't even keep up with myself. So, but, like, as far as the virgin thing, I don't know. I don't think we really care who's a virgin, who's not. I haven't heard the V word in such a long time. Because we all know that we come from different backgrounds, and some of us are gold star lesbians who've never been with a man, and some of us have experimented, and some of us are divorced from a man. Like, it's so, the community is so diverse as far as what background you come from. So we don't really focus on the virgin thing. Now, it feels like we were born virgins, I guess.
Yeah.
We're born virgins and stuff, but I guess we don't really focus on that term. But, you know, I do consider a lesbian I've, for example, I know lesbians who've been together since they were like 13, and they took each other's virginity away. Some people don't, so, like, there it goes with the gender thing. You're giving someone too much power. Like, a man could take your virginity away, and a woman could, in my eyes. Like, once that cherry's popped, it's fucking popped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So whether you use a toy or whether you use the human flesh, that's on the person.
Glad I asked the question. No one is deciding what people can and cannot do with their bodies. The definition of intercourse and virginity makes an interesting discussion, doesn't it? Some would argue for and against the idea of intercourse involving a man, woman, and penetration. The reason I did this episode is because I think with a heterosexual mindset. I want to dispel the stereotypes and myths that get planted in the heads of straight people for one reason or another. In all fairness, some of my questions were in part due to my miseducation, misconception, stereotypes, and even myths. It's all about understanding and respecting each other's sexual orientation. And I'm just scratching the surface. This is only just the beginning. As a straight woman, I wanted to ask my questions one-on-one just to educate myself and you listeners. Society does absolutely everything in its power to enforce the concept of heterosexual relationships. Tatiana says people always trying to find more answers than she tries to find for her own self. She or the lesbian community are not a study. She wants everyone listening to know she doesn't have daddy issues. She's over it. They are all not rape victims either. Sexually molested survivors, hostile feminists, or women that have undergone trauma. And this wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. We celebrate embarrassment, and I might suggest things that you may think has she lost her mind. Trust me, girlies, and you guys too, there's always a reason. I suggest things and I ask you questions that put you out of your comfort zone. And trust me, it's always planned. It's never random. But help me spread the word. Don't forget to share this show with your girlies. Email me a question or even a personal story, and you're going to send it to ask@ninababel.com. Was this episode good for you? New episodes of the Keep 100 Girls Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to review the show in iTunes. I rely on it because it helps me stand up in the crowd and helps women, and even men, understand us and themselves better. So you're going to search for the Keep It 100 Girls Show. You're going to click on that purple podcast icon, and then you're going to see this review square. You're going to click on it, as well as 5 stars. You're going to enter the title, your review, and submit. Connect with me on social media because I love Twitter, Instagram, and you know what? You could send me a snap on Snapchat. All of them, you could use the handle @NinaBabel. Don't forget to subscribe to The Friggin' Truth on ninababel.com. I've got some future episodes planned over the next couple of months. But before I do that, I want to make sure what I cover is useful to you. Would you just do me a favor and leave me a comment on my blog? You send me a tweet, a review, or snap. You can also check out my videos on YouTube by typing in the search field Nina Babel. Enjoy your Tuesday, and you know what? I'm going to be back on Thursday dropping another episode of The Morning Sip on iTunes. If you missed episode 1 and 2, these are 15-minute short episodes where people like me share their quick thoughts. So join me Thursday when I talk about my bathroom chronicles. I'm breaking girl code on some of you out there who have no bra-topsy when it comes to bathroom etiquette. But let's keep it 100. Smooches.